Amen. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Well, today's a big day for us in our house because we're coming to the end of a sermon series. So we've been on this journey in the Psalms of Ascent, and today is the last one, Psalm 134. And so I'm going to go through, like I've been doing, I'm going to read it in a couple different translations, and it'll make sense why we're doing what we're doing with the service in a moment. But the first one is, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 134. I'm going to read the ESV version first, and it says this: "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." And then again in the Passion Translation, Psalm 134 says, "All his loving priests who serve and sing, come and sing your song of blessing to God. Come and stand before him in the house of God throughout the night watch, lifting up your hands in holy worship. Come and bless the Lord. May the Lord whom you worship, the mighty maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion's glory." So the first, it's three verses. Again, I love these. It seems like these psalms that are so short, two, three verses, are so power-packed. And so the first verse, again, it says, "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord." It says, come. It's an invitation. Come, bless the Lord. It's a choice to bless the Lord or not bless the Lord. It's always a choice. 24/7, you have a choice, right? He says, come, bless the Lord. All the servants of the Lord, everyone who would declare themselves as a servant of the Lord, come and bless the Lord. All the royal priesthood, right? Psalm 134, it's a call to worship. Like no other psalm that I know, it's a call to worship. In the night watch, standing before the Lord, right? In the middle of the night, honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How will you position yourself? Will you be attentive to him, blessing him throughout the night, throughout the day? The second verse, it says, "Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." Right? Lift up your hands in worship. Right? In our house, it's more common to lift up our hands. In many of the houses of worship around town, it's not as common still to lift up your hands. And yet, in this psalm, it's a call to say, will you become exuberant unto the Lord? Will you lift up your hands unto him? Bless the Lord with your whole heart. All of who you are, all that you have, hold nothing back. Right? Nothing back in your worship of the Lord. We often think of David dancing right before the ark, holding nothing back, dancing before the Lord in front of all mankind, not so he would get attention from mankind, but so that he would glorify the living God, right? Think of Joshua lingering in the presence. Moses would meet with God and Joshua would stay. He would remain lingering in his presence. It's an act of worship, right? Think of Zacchaeus, right? You guys know Zacchaeus giving generously to the poor and restoring what he had wrongfully taken after he encountered Jesus. It was an act of worship. Think of the woman Mary who poured out the perfume on Jesus. It was an act of worship. It would cost her a lot. Not just what it cost for the perfume, but think about her getting down low at his feet, anointing him with oil, wiping his feet with her hair, knowing that she was going to get ridicule from the Pharisees that were gathered. And yet she said, I will not be deterred from worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I will not worry about what others would say about me. I will honor my King. I will honor the Lord, no matter what it costs. Bless the Lord with your whole heart. And then the last verse, it says, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. May the Lord bless you. Not that we would just bless the Lord, but may he bless you. from his dwelling place, right? Where does he dwell today? Right? Inside his believers, right? The one who made heaven and earth, the creator of all things, may he bless you in every area of your life. And may he bless you with all of the resources at his disposal. He's lacking nothing. There's no degree that he lacks. The fullness of heaven, the heart of the Father is on towards you. With all that he has, all that he is, it never stops. It just continues to flow. And so this morning, the question the Holy Spirit would have us look at is, how do you view worship? Is worship an event that you attend? Like church on Sunday morning or another gathering that you go to? Is that what worship is? Or is worship a part of your regular schedule? Like every day I spend some time worshiping, check, I did it, done. Is that what worship is? Right? Or is worship a lifestyle that permeates your whole life? Is your whole life an act of worship unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Right? Throughout the day and throughout the night. And then what does it mean to be a part of the royal priesthood? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Right? Peter is talking about all believers. You became something. When you said yes to Jesus, you became a member of the royal priesthood. Not because of any great act that you did, but because of what he did for you. But by your yes, you become a member of this company, right? And when you accept him into your heart, you declare that he's Savior and Lord, you get a new name, right? And part of that name is you're a member of a royal priesthood. And so part of that job is you proclaim the excellencies of God. It's part of what you get to do in your words and your actions. Often we think it's only by our words, and yet how you live declares the excellencies of your God, right? You get to declare what Jesus has done for you, how he set you free. Every single person in this room who has a relationship with Jesus, before you said yes to him, you weren't free because you needed a Savior. So somewhere over here, you were bound in captivity, right? Whether you're aware of it or not, right? Most of us who've accepted Jesus, we're well aware of what we were living in, right? And yet many who are walking in the world, they have no idea that they need a Savior. They have no idea that there's captivity around them. Right? They don't have eyes to see. That's okay. There was a time when I didn't have eyes to see. I thought I was doing just fine. Right? And then he got a hold of me. He opened my eyes as if scales fell off, and I had eyes to see my life in a new light. Like I'd never seen it before. I realized I needed a Savior, and I realized there was a Savior who wanted me, who chose me, who welcomed me. There was no limit to the extent of what he would do to pursue me because he wanted me to have the experience of abundant life. And so priests, they stand before God to serve and to worship and to bless God. So part of your assignment as a member of the royal priesthood is from here. It's that vertical between you and God. You serve him, you bless him, you worship him, right? And then they also, members of the royal priesthood, they stand before man to testify about God and to call others to the truth of who God is. And that's the horizontal, right? So to love and bless God and to love and bless mankind is part of our role as followers of Jesus. The psalm closes with, "May the Lord bless you." You guys like getting blessed? Yeah. Could you use more blessing? Yeah. You think you have any room in your life for more? Do you know that the Lord doesn't bless us because we worship Him? It's not how the kingdom works. He doesn't say, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Everything initiates with the Lord. He has a heart to bless. He has a heart to bless you. It's very personal. He knows every detail of your life, every intricacy, every struggle, every conundrum. His heart is to always bless you. And He's the one who knows how to bless you personally. Do you know in the kingdom there's not cookie cutter blessing? Have you ever thought that, oh, it's the same for every single person? What's the same is that His heart is to bless you. That's what the same thing is. Yet because we're uniquely made, we're intricately woven, not one of us is the same, there's unique blessing that He has just to pour out to you. It's really good news. He knows your heart and He knows your destiny. And He loves to bless you. The God who created heaven and earth, He blesses you and me with all of who He is. He holds nothing back. Not one thing. And with all the resources at His disposal, there's no limit to how much He can bless you. It can keep going and going and going. And when you think you can't take any more, it can keep going and going and going. But often I think we settle and we say, it's good enough. I have enough. And here's our Father in heaven saying, you don't even know what you're saying. You haven't ever experienced even getting close to enough. Because my love and my blessing for you is unlimited. Never ending. And so we've been on this journey in the Psalms of the Ascent. And I think the one thing that I can say as we wrap up this series is that each one of these Psalms has been an invitation to both remember and to look forward. And it makes sense, right? Because they would declare these Psalms as they went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem at least the 3 times a year. They're remembering and they're looking forward. They're remembering and looking forward, right? The goodness of God. They're reminding themselves, God is always good. He's all the time He's good. And so as I move forward in life, I'm going to keep that in the forefront of my mind. God is always good. God's always faithful, right? They're reminding themselves the specific sort of titles or truths about who God is. He's the promise keeper. He's been faithful to keep promise after promise after promise. And when I look to the future, I know that He will be faithful to keep His promises to me. He's trustworthy. He's the God of hope. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Restorer. I've experienced His restoration in my life and in these places that I'm still waiting for more of His touch. I know if anyone's going to restore me, it's Him. And His faithfulness and His goodness will lead me into that place of restoration. Right? Better than I could ever dream my restoration could be. He's the builder of the house for all generations. Your legacy doesn't stop with you. It keeps going. He's building a house. He's had a foundation and He's built. And you're a part of that process. And then He's going to keep building with your children and your grandchildren and the future generations. The body of Christ keeps going, right? It's not just physical children or natural children. Right? So for those of you who don't have children, your spiritual children continue moving forward. Just like your spiritual fathers continue sowing into your life. The God we worship is the God of blessing. I think of Lisa's message last week. He's the God of unity. He knows unity better than you can even say the word. Right? We don't even have a clue what unity really means. Yet we worship the God of unity. And he's longing to invite us into greater places of unity. He is the only one worthy of our worship. And each psalm on the journey has been significant, right? Highlighting for keys to us in our relationship with this God that we worship. Reminding us of the truths of who he is and what he's leading us into. And so the best way that I knew how to apply Psalm 134 is to worship. And that's why we're switching up our service this morning. We're reversing it. And we're going to actually have a pretty long time of worship. And so what the Lord told me is that view it as a marathon. So we're not going to do a sprint this morning. We're going to do a marathon. And the reality is that in a marathon, there's highs and lows of what happens in your physical body. There's times where you're exerting a lot of energy, and there's times where you're conserving. You're getting ready for the last sprint. You have to conserve in order to do so, right? You have to be aware of what's happening inside of you. Part of that in the spirit this morning is we're going to play a variety of different kinds of worship songs. And so there's times where you will want to dance. You'll want to raise your hands. There'll be times that you want to be like Mary and just sit at Jesus' feet. That's okay. There'll be times where you want to be quiet and let the worship just wash over you. The words of the songs wash over you. And there's times that you will want to shout out. And you're free to do whatever you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do, because there's not a right demonstration of worship. Remember the individuals that I mentioned, right? David, Joshua, Zacchaeus, and Mary. Not one of them worshiped Jesus in the same way, or God. Not one. But all of them worshiped with their whole heart. And so I give you permission today to worship with your whole heart, right? I encourage you, try something new. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit to try something new, try something old, right? Maybe you used to dance with wild abandon before the Lord, and then somewhere along the lines, you noticed other people. And it took your focus away from God and took away your freedom. The one thing I will say is we don't often open up our altar, right? Because it's not a traditional church. But the altar is open. And so if you want to just come and sit at the altar, if you want to come and dance at the altar, feel free. It's yours. It's your house, right? The key today is to bless the Lord with your whole heart, whatever that looks like. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this Psalm 134. It's bread of life to us. And I pray that this bread, this word, would captivate us in a fresh way this morning. And that we would ingest it, digest it, it would become core to who we are. The awareness of our role as a member of the royal priesthood, one who is designated to worship and glorify you, an interface between you and mankind, to share the testimonies of the goodness and the faithfulness of the living God with all those we encounter. Our lives are an act of worship unto you. Would you open our eyes to see more about the truth of worship? And then would you also open our eyes and our mindsets to the truth of how much you long to bless us, and how that all of your resources, all of heaven's resources, are at the ready to be poured out on us in radical ways because of your goodness and your faithfulness. I pray the coupling of the two, our worship unto you and your outpouring of blessing unto us. Would we encounter you in a fresh way today? Would we glorify you with our words and with our lives today in a new and fresh way? And let it not just be a worship service. Let it transform us for all eternity. that we would never worship the same way again because of what you do in us in this moment. We make room for you, Holy Spirit. Would you come and have your way? Do something new in us today. Come and move in our midst. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.